That was a bold last-minute decision, going with your idea.
Hey! We're recording the podcast! Shut up!
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is a morning somewhere for April 23rd, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns, sitting right over there. Still available, limited edition in stores. Ashley Burns. How you doing, Ash?
Available everywhere babes are sold.
Burkle, burkle.
Just for you.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, a little Tuesday treat there. Hey, everybody. It is Tuesday. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Good to talk to you. A lot of stuff in the news today. It's a lot of geeky news, I feel like, today.
Yeah, a lot of geeky news and a lot of like news that is little-ish in terms of overall scale, but still quite a lot of it. So one of the big things, or bigger things, is yesterday when we ended the podcast, the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer was not out yet.
The world was waiting with bated breath.
24 hours later. It has arrived and taken the world by storm. I watched the trailer. Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer. I'm going to look it up real quick to see how many views it's gotten since we last talked about it.
At least two. But here's what...
Mission accomplished.
Here's what it taught me is I got to stop watching trailers for stuff that I already know that I'm going to watch. Deadpool Wolverine is like... That's not a question. We're like, oh, I'm still trying to make up my mind. It's I know I'm going to see it. And I'm enjoying more and more the movies that I make that decision and then I check out of any further marketing on and go in as blind as possible. I watched this trailer and I'm like, okay, yeah, that kind of confirmed a lot of the theories that have been flying around.
Wolverine is in it?
Yeah, the Wolverine's right there. And did you know that he can heal fast? I don't need to... see all the stuff. I know I'm going to go in. I want to go in blind. I want to enjoy it and go, ooh, so surprised. And that's getting harder and harder to do. Like, even if I'm not watching trailers, I'm on the subreddit or not the subreddit, but I'm on my Reddit feed. And all these new subreddits keep popping up in my feed saying, hey, there's this. So-and-so is going to be in it. So-and-so is going to be this role in it. And I'm like, I don't want to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know all that stuff. All right. Like, even we were talking about something of somebody who wasn't in it, and that was... a bit of a spoiler because then it tells what character is in it, right?
Right.
So let me ask you this. You say it was suggesting, Reddit was suggesting things to you. Do you feel like the Reddit algorithm for suggestions has stepped up since the public announcement? Like even before they went public, like months before that when they announced it, like all of a sudden they were just pushing subreddits and I'm getting alerts and badges on my app and everything like that. And it's all just basically like, we think you'd like to see this. And I say, stop showing me this. Turn this off, and they just keep like finding a new way to do the same thing.
Yes, I will say that over the past several months, it seems like the Reddit, you know, your home feed has been doing a lot more of you like a community like this, so we're just starting to surface posts from this community as well. Or you accidentally clicked a link on this community once, so now you get to see everything. You know. Although, Bernie, you gotta take your wins when you can, because otherwise you wouldn't have found your foam wall friends.
Have you ever, in your email client, have you ever like misspelled an email address and then it just lives in your email client forever?
Yes.
Have
you had that? And then I basically never email the right person again because it always just goes, oh, you want to email this that never worked and that you tried one time.
I've created contacts for those and then deleted them and tried everything. Wherever email clients store their recently emailed list or the previously emailed list, it is almost impossible to find that and edit that. And it's one of the things that I can't believe in 2024, I still can't do that.
That email algorithm needs to get its ChatGPT
algorithm. The way he said that.
Algorithm.
So my opinion is the same as yours. I should probably stop watching trailers. I did stop doing that long time ago. Like I wouldn't watch any of the Matrix sequel trailers because I knew I was going to see them and I just didn't want to spoil it for myself. More recently, Fallout. I was like, when I saw the Fallout trailer, seeing that scene in real time, in the show, in the context, it was perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. It felt really bizarre seeing the confrontation of a vault dweller and a ghoul. If you've seen the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For the first time, it felt really weird. She was like doing a de-escalation thing. And I was like, what the fuck is this? But in context, it made perfect sense. It was very much in character.
Yes. I'm also glad that I checked out of a lot of the Fallout marketing. And I'm you know, going into it just to enjoy the experience. Got to do more of that. Did you see how many people have not checked out of the Deadpool and Wolverine marketing in the last 24 hours or so?
Dateline, 20 hours since this has been posted, 19 million views. So pretty much a million views an hour is what they're averaging.
So I would say that demonstrates there is some interest in this movie.
That's
crazy. I don't know if it's going to be a banger, but we'll find out.
It's coming at a weird time too, because Civil War was number one at the box office, its second week in release. It was number one at the U.S. box office in late April 2024. Do you know how much Civil War made that weekend?
100 million, 200 million.
It was second weekend, though. Second weekend the thing was out, but did hit number one.
Okay. 50 million?
It made $11 million to be number one at the box office.
Holy shit, is that all?
That's a little bit shocking to me that something in this day and age, I guess not because of how cinemas are doing, but I don't know. It just goes to show it's like Marvel really dominates
the box office. I guess like Marvel and things like, you know, all the blockbuster type stuff that I go see is really skewed my expectations.
But I was shocked to find out that being the number one movie in America was only $11 million in a weekend. That was pretty wild.
That is surprising. You know what movie
I think Deadpool and Wolverine will make more than that.
I suspect so. A movie that I want to go see is the new Guy Ritchie movie. It's Henry Cavill and our boy Alan Ritchson.
That came out, that debuted at number four.
Really?
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'll look that up while we're talking about that. I want to see that as well. Although I saw this like really interesting goof on it where apparently there's a coffee cup in a scene a la Game of Thrones.
I like to think that's intentional. At this point, I wonder if it's going to become like the Wilhelm scream where filmmakers just try to sneak in weird little jokes and it becomes like a phenomenon. Like that one, pretty much what every movie that has someone falling or getting shot or whatever has the Wilhelm scream in it, to the point where it's almost surprising when movies don't. Now it's going to be coffee cups.
Civil War was number one in its second week of release at $11 million. It averaged $2,800 per screen. There's a movie, Abigail, that came out. It was expected to be number one and was not. It was number two with $10.2 million. Your Mecha Kong, your boy, Godzilla X King Kong, the new empire, was $9.5 million at number three after its fourth week in release. And the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, starring the most handsome man in the world, Alan Ritchson, with the second most handsome man in the world. Maybe it's a tie, Henry Cavill. $8.9 million, 2,800 screens, an average of 3,100. It actually had the highest average per screen for anything in the rankings.
That's surprising to me. I am a sucker for Guy Ritchie films, though. I think the first thing that I really remember being like, that's Guy Ritchie. This is when, you know, when I was young, I didn't pay attention to the, you know, directors or filmmakers specifically. I just think, you know, this is great. So I didn't associate like Lock, Stock or Snatch early on with Guy Ritchie. But I associated, the first thing was, do you remember the Driver shorts with, they had Clive Owen, I think was the driver.
Oh, I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
I believe at the time, he was married to Madonna and they did a short, a pop star short or something where he was driving her to her thing and they do all these crazy stunts and then he dumps her out of the car at the end and she's like covered in coffee and lipstick and it's just kind of like a ridiculous little action short. And I thought those were brilliant.
So all these numbers that I was just reading to you, by the way, come from Box Office Mojo. That's
okay.
Still the site that I use. Is there something, do people use Rotten Tomatoes for Box Office numbers?
I don't know. I've always just gone with Box Office Mojo. Maybe it's tradition.
Box Office Mojo owned by IMDb. Which we were just talking about, sites that bug the shit out of you. IMDb is definitely top of that list for me now. Every time I go to the Internet Movie Database, it's constantly like, you have to sign up, you have to get the app. It's like, why would I want to sign in?
I don't want to do that. I just want to know who's in the movie with the who.
That's it. That's all I want to know. And then that's always never on the first page, the cast list. It's always,
yeah, like, it's like you have to like dive through five.
You must be here to look at promotional photos from red carpets. It's like, nope, I'm definitely not on the Internet Movie Database in order to do that. I guarantee it.
Well, Bernie, speaking of things that are coming out, breaking news.
Oh, wait.
Breaking news.
Wait,
are
wait, breaking news. Hold on a second.
Oh,
hold on
okay.
Second. Hold on.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Is that over my headphones? I couldn't even tell. Go ahead.
One of your favorite games, Bernie, 7 Days to Die, is leaving early access.
Wow, congratulations. Early access is over for 7 days to die.
Do you know how long it's been in early access?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think how long I've been playing that game. I'm going to guess 8 years in early access.
It's been a decade. This is so
that is not surprising.
The Fun Pimps, who are making the game, I didn't know that's the developer.
Terrible name
for
a company.
said, we've been developing 7 days for nearly 12 years. I've had over 20 large scale early access releases. Yada yada. Our team feels satisfied with our efforts. Blah blah blah. They're going to 1.0. In June, July.
So what does 1.0 mean for a game that's been in early access for 10 years? Are they like then going to now it's going out to market?
Yeah, now it's like the 1.0 release, which usually with these kinds of games means that they're going to bump the price up. Mm-hmm. And but they've got a roadmap, so it's not like it's done. They've still got more things that they're going to be putting in, like crossplay. And then they've got they're doing some interesting things with their console release, but they're going to be introducing crossplay and then three different major updates: Storm is Brewing, New Threat, Road Ahead, that all have features like
there are some
a
games.
Wardrobe system, bandits, story mode.
They've had bandits before. This game has changed so much. For those of you who are not familiar with 7 Days to Die, it's actually a really cool concept. It's basically you're alone in this apocalyptic world with zombies. And you have to build a base and discover technology. It's like a more adult version of Minecraft, essentially, because Minecraft has zombies as well. The unique thing about it and where the title comes from is that every 7 days, there's a massive horde of zombies that they just come for you. Like they try to get to you everywhere in the world, and it slowly escalates over time in terms of the number of zombies that attack and also the different types and the toughness of the zombies that attack. And so you're spending all your time preparing for the 7th day when everything comes and the horde rushes you. It's actually pretty exhilarating, I have to say, for a crafting game experience.
Yeah, so where I'd say that differentiates very much from Minecraft is the it's base building against threats, which almost seems like it introduces not exactly a tower defense element, but kind of.
No, yeah, yeah. You have like turrets and stuff like that. It's actually a good comparison, I think.
Yeah. You've played this game, six times? You just every now and again after a major update, they go through and they wipe your progress in early access, right? And yep. And you just
put
you
out
start
a new version,
the game over.
Change something fundamental in the game, and then a lot of times your save is just like not good anymore. You have to just start over. And a lot, you know, I think I got in the rhythm of doing that anyway, because I didn't mind starting over. Once you get to like day 100 or something like that, or day 150, then you're just like, eh. Like, even tried to play some of the multiplayer stuff on it, and the servers would tell you what day they were on. It's like, well, I'm not going to join a server that's at day 120, because A, the hordes are ridiculously strong, and also everyone's got an incredible base and is going to destroy me.
Right, like you're going to come in and be like, I brought wood. Shelter me.
But it's interesting that it could stay in early access so long, and you're talking about the console version of it. There's just some games I just can't imagine ever playing on a console. But I'm weird like that, because I never, ever played Minecraft on a console. I only ever played it on PC. I never understood how people could play that game on a console.
There are certain games where the interface just, for me, feels right on one or the other.
Well, congratulations. 10 years in early access, you made it.
It's here. It's coming out. It's going to be great.
I wonder what the next reigning champion for game that's in early access for the most amount of time. Like, who does that mantle then fall to?
Ooh, let's see.
Did 7 Days to Die even have it, you know?
Right, I was going to say, did Kerbal Space Program end up launching?
Well, they have a Kerbal Space Program 2 now.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I guess that it did.
It's funny you say this, because I was just thinking that was not well received at all after years of people like hyping up and building Kerbal Space Program, which is a tremendously fun game. There's another game going through, right? Like we warned you guys, this was a lot of geeky news. City Skylines 2. I thought, okay, I'll play this. It's a long ways after release, and people were very underwhelmed by City Skylines 2. And there was some argument that maybe it should have been early access when it came out and not been a full release. And apparently they have removed DLC now from the Steam store because it was so poorly received. There was someone on Reddit claiming that they removed it because it was the most negatively rated DLC on Steam.
Whoa.
But removing the DLC has now broken a bunch of things. I really haven't confirmed any of this. I will link that Reddit thread in the link dump. If you're interested in that kind of thing, you can go check it out. But I was disappointed to see that City Skylines 2 is still not much better this far after launch.
It is a shame. I've been sort of waiting, just not with bated breath, but I enjoy city builder games when I get into them.
There doesn't seem to be one right now.
Right. The last one I remember was, it was this, the last one that I played rather, was the SimCity that was always online. It was the first one that EA did always online, and there was a big kerfuffle about that. But at the time, I was too busy building my city. I didn't know about this DLC, but given how the trend for this particular game has gone, it's not surprising that it also wasn't well received, because there were so many complaints about the base game.
While we're talking about things that are leaving early access,
yeah,
can we talk about something that's going back into early access?
Yeah.
Yes. Tesla recalled all of their Cybertrucks.
What? Every single one.
For a pretty serious issue, too. It was related to the accelerator pedal getting stuck, which is not something you want, especially in an electric vehicle, you know?
Especially a steel tank.
Yeah, especially a giant stainless steel monstrosity.
I thought this was going to be about going through car washes. I just read a really silly story recently where if you go through a car wash with a Cybertruck and you don't put it in car wash mode, it can brick the truck.
How does it brick the truck?
I don't know.
What is car wash mode?
I don't know. I don't know how you put a car in car wash mode. I found that absolutely fascinating that it's like, but it's like, oh yeah, if you don't put it in car wash mode, it could take damage. Like, what? I mean, my version of putting a car in car wash mode has always been pull the mirrors in.
Yeah, so nearly 4,000 of the new Tesla Cybertrucks have been recalled due to an issue with the accelerator pedal that could cause unintended acceleration.
Oh, great.
The accelerator can become trapped, leading to unintended acceleration. The recall covers 3,878 Cybertrucks. I don't know how many on the market, but many people were reporting that's all of the Cybertrucks.
That's actually not that many Cybertrucks.
No, it actually doesn't sound like that many. And so it's got to go back in. It has something to do with like the adhesive on the pad that's on the accelerator, and it could get stuck. So yeah, that's a bad deal.
So if you see one on the highway, watch out.
Okay, let's wrap up and round out this whole episode of Geeky News. Epic made an announcement yesterday, which was poorly received. Which they added or are adding today a feature to Fortnite to the social privacy category, which allows people to turn off confrontational emotes.
What does that mean?
So what this means is, like, if someone kills you in the game and there's four emotes in particular that they've targeted here, one is a laugh it up emote, which is just a person sitting there laughing at you. Another one is a take the L, which is that famous Fortnite dance where they put the L on their forehead and dance back and forth. There's another one called Whip Crack, which is, I think, a Catwoman emote where they get out a whip and crack
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And then Make It Plantain, which is like Make It Rain with money, but with bananas. I don't know what that is. Anyway, they made it so that if people can still do the emotes, but you can turn it off so you won't see it. So if people do the L over you after they kill you, you just won't see it. You'll just see the character sitting there. And apparently some of these other emotes have sound effects to play with them. You won't hear those sound effects either.
Weird. So it's like you can just mute certain emotes.
You can. Yeah, it's a great way to put it. You can mute on your end other people doing certain emotes. And of course, people are going crazy. I saw this announcement on Twitter and read the replies. And of course, everyone was like, it's so soft. You know, people are so lame now. People are now offended by these things or whatever. It's like, what do you care if, like, if someone wants to turn it off and they don't see it and they're not banning the emote?
Right. You get to do the emote.
You get to do the emote.
Are you mad that people aren't going to see you making fun of them after you kill them?
That's exactly what it is, that people are getting mad that other people won't feel bad, essentially. Like, it didn't work that I couldn't make you feel bad.
Buddy, if you need to, just go old school.
Also,
teabag them.
How do you even know, like, if you're... I've played Fortnite. How do you even know if you're playing against a bot? Or if you're not playing against a bot, how do you know you're not playing against, like, a 9-year-old or something like that?
Right.
You know, like, what I mean?
You're going to be a jerk to a 9-year-old?
I don't want to taunt a 9-year-old, and I don't want a 9-year-old taunt me. Let me tell you. And there's lots of opportunities for them to do the latter. I get killed a lot in Fortnite. No option to mute the dancing emotes that they've stolen from performers over the years, though. Unfortunately, they don't have those. You still have to suffer through those.
Just wait till we classify those as, what is it, confrontational? Well, before we go, I want to say thank you to today's sponsors, Cakes and Parthen. Cakes and Parthen, thank you for sponsoring this episode of Morning Somewhere. We appreciate you. You're the real heroes. Do those emotes.
Well, now I want cake.
All right. Well, that does it for us today. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.